My head hazy, I start talking. James and I dated secretly for 2 months, I say, my temple resting against the fabric. It was tough keeping it from Brady. James slept over all the time, and each night he'd slip out of Brady's room at 3 in the morning and climb into my bed. We'd kiss and whisper, James always making me laugh. I didn't want to hide how I felt about him, but I knew it wouldn't go over well. Not with Brady, not with our parents. So we spent time like that, lying in each other's arms and talking about leaving Oregon.
Were you having sex? Dr. Warren asks, making notes in her file.
No, I mean, we could have, I guess, but we didn't. I smile to myself. We just made out a whole lot. I let my eyes close, feeling distant. After Brady died, James was torn up with guilt. I was worse. If I'd known how to swim, maybe I could have saved him. He was my brother, and I didn't even see the signs. I wondered if it was because I was too involved with James, if he was too involved with me. For that first week, James and I stayed far away from each other. I couldn't even look at him.
What changed?
After my brother was buried and my house was filled with my mother's sobs and my father's drinking, my parents turned their attention to me. They were worried I was depressed too, but they couldn't see it was just grief. My brother was my best friend, and I wanted him back. I paused then, swallowing hard. But he was never going to come back. He was never going to take me to the top of the Ferris wheel again. He would never teach me how to swim. Dr. Warren hands me a tissue, and I wipe my eyes even though I'm not sure if I'm crying. I can't feel anything on my cheeks. I'm numb. And then one afternoon, I start again. I found my mother in Brady's room, trying to pack up his clothes, and I lost it. I couldn't stand the thought of his things in a box like he was in. I told her I hated her. I lower my head. I'm not proud of it, but I'd been caught up in my parents' emotional wake, and I needed my own time to grieve. They wouldn't let me grieve. The next day, I found a pamphlet for the program near the phone, and I knew I couldn't ever let them see me cry again. And I knew I had to talk to James because Brady told us to take care of each other. At school, I was overwhelmed with the interviews, the therapy, the monitoring. I felt so alone, I thought that maybe I was becoming ill. But later that week, I walked out of class to find James standing at the lockers, as if he'd been waiting there all along. And I realized how much I'd missed him. He didn't hesitate when he saw me. He stomped right across the floor and picked me up in a hug, smashing me to him. I wanted to cry, but I couldn't.
There are healthy forms of showing emotion, Dr. Warren says. You could have talked to the counselors.
I stare at her, wondering if she's serious, if she doesn't know the extremes the outside world has gone to in order to try to protect us. Believe what you want, I tell her. But the handlers were looking for any excuse to flag us. All we could feel was the pressure of it. I turn away, thinking again about how relieved I was to see that James was okay. That day, he gave me a ride home, and then the next. It started to feel like the only time we were normal was when we were together. We would tuck ourselves away where we could cry and no one else could see us. As the weeks passed, we started to talk about other things, about leaving town again, just me and him, about being together forever. My chest swells as I remember our first time, how scared I was. We were camping, snuggling on a blanket next to the warm fire. I was so in love with him. I close my eyes now and think about how James kissed my neck, his mouth hot, his hands gentle on my skin. Soon he was kissing me passionately, seeming to want me more than ever before.
His knee moved between my legs, and I pulled his shirt over his head when he stopped, gasping for breath. "Wait," he said. "We shouldn't." His blue eyes were heavy-lidded, filled with desire. Lust. I pulled him down and kissed him again, working at his belt, even when he told me again that we didn't have to. He'd brought protection, which showed me he'd at least considered it could happen. And we used it, just like we always would after. I open my eyes and see Dr. Warren waiting for the story. I wish I didn't have to tell her anything, but I just can't stop. I hate that I can't stop because I know what it means. She's going to steal this moment away from me, and the thought is unbearable. "The night James and I first had sex," I say, "it wasn't about our hormones. It was desperate, sad, even a little painful. And then it was beautiful and hopeful. It was a promise we made to each other that we would protect each other, take care of each other. James told me he loved me and that he would never let anything happen to me. I promised the same." I choke on my words. "But I lied. I didn't protect him. I tried so hard, but I wasn't strong enough. They came and they took him, and now he doesn't love me anymore." I cover my face and start sobbing, realizing how much it hurts to be alive, how I don't want to live with the loss. "I have nothing," I say through my hands. "I'm all alone now."
"You're not," Dr. Warren says. "I'm not saying James is a bad guy, neither is Brady or Miller or Lacey. But they're the reason you're really here. They were infected, Sloane. They infected you, and now you have to get better. Just like a cancer, we have to cut out what's making you sick." I look at her, still hating her, but with the pain raging in my chest, maybe a little less so. "Here," she offers the yellow pill. "Take it. Empower yourself, sweetheart. It'll make everything right." I consider her offer. Then I think of Roger's disgusting mouth on mine. I think of how his purple pill will let me hold on to some of my memories. So instead, I look at Dr. Warren and say, "Go to hell." And then someone grabs me, and I feel a pinch in my arm.
Chapter 9. "Sloane," a voice whispers. My eyes flip open, and I start to scream as I see a figure next to my bed.
"Shh, shh,"
Realm says, quickly putting his finger to his lips. He shoots a cautious look at the door, and I force myself to quiet down.
"You scared the hell out of me," I whisper, and then lean closer so that I can see him better in the dim room.
The only light comes from the moon outside the sealed window. I pause when he comes into focus.
"Your eye."
Realm has a black eye that looks like it might still hurt.
"It's fine," he says, waving me off. "I just wanted to make sure you were okay. Didn't mean to leave so abruptly."
He grins, but he's checking me over, making sure I'm all right.
"It was very rude," I offer.
Then I sit up and wrap my arms around his neck. He chuckles and holds me gently, almost like he's embarrassed that we're in an embrace.
"I was so lonely," I say.
Realm reaches to smooth back my hair.
"Sloane."
He pauses.
"No one hurt you, did they?"
His voice is filled with concern, and I think he's talking about Roger, but I can't tell him about the pill, about the kiss.
"No," I lie. "I just didn't think you were coming back."
I slowly release him and lie back down in my bed, glad he's here.
"You should sleep," Realm whispers. "Meet you for breakfast?"
I nod, smiling.
"Maybe they'll have waffles."
He laughs. "If not, I'll find you some."
I curl up on my side as he fixes my blankets.
He probably would.
I watch as he leaves, quietly closing the door behind him. Seeing him again is like a huge weight lifted off my chest. Even though I know I was upset earlier, I can't remember why. I'm just glad my friend is back. The next morning, Realm is waiting at my table, looking fresh in a pair of new lemon-yellow scrubs. His hair is still wet and brushed back, making him look younger somehow. Paired with his black eye, it's almost adorable.
"It's not waffles," he says, as if expecting me to be disappointed. "But I filled out a suggestion card, so hopefully tomorrow."
I laugh and sit next to him, not bothering to get my food yet.
"Did you get that shiner from the handler?" I ask, leaning to look at it.
Realm watches me as I examine him, a sad expression on his face.
"Roger got an elbow in," he says quietly. "But I nearly choked him to death, so it's about even."
I tense and turn away, wishing I hadn't let Roger touch me, but knowing that I got to keep a piece of myself in return. Or at least, I hope.
"What?" Realm asks.
"Nothing," I murmur. "I'm just hungry." I get up and walk to the food line. I'm at the end of my third week, and I continue to refuse my pills. I almost wish I didn't know what the medication did to me so I wouldn't have to have this battle every day. But I do know, and I want to fight. After a therapy session and a fresh injection, I'm halfway back to my room when he walks into the hall.
"Hello, Sloane," Roger says. "Sorry I haven't been around. Been spending a lot of time at your new school."
At the sound of his voice, goosebumps raise on my arms.
"Leave me alone," I say, my words slightly slurred.
"Don't you want to know why?"
I turn to look at him as his dark hair falls over his eyes.
"No."
"Does the name James Murphy sound familiar?" he asks.
I gasp and stop walking, steadying myself on the wall. "James is my boyfriend, or at least he was until he went into the program. He'd been friends with Miller, and before that..."
"What?
Who was James before that?" I press the heel of my hand against my forehead. "I can't remember."
"Seems James is being difficult. No wonder you two were together for so long. You're a couple of troublemakers."
Roger laughs, and I want to lunge at him and scratch out his eyes.
"Is he okay?" I ask.
Roger nods. "He's fine, just a pain in the ass. He's always testing his handlers, slipping away. He's lucky he'll be 18 soon, otherwise he might end up back here."
"James is okay." I smile and lean against the wall.
"You know, Sloane," Roger whispers, walking to stand close to me. "After another session or two, James will be gone from your memory altogether."
"Shut up," I say, squeezing my eyes closed when his fingers brush my bare arm.
"I told you the price, and I think it's fair. What do you say?"
He leans closer, his peppermint breath on my ear. His finger glides up my arm and onto my shirt, grazing the side of my breast. The room is tilting from my medication, but I'm trying to hold on. I don't want to be this vulnerable around him. I don't want his disgusting hands on me.
"No,"
I snarl.
"Hmm," he says, and loops his arm around my waist, putting my head against his shoulder. "Maybe I should help you to your room."
I try to pull away and nearly fall when I hear a shout from down the hall.
"Hey, Raj," Realm says, his hands in the pockets of his yellow scrubs. "Looks like you might need some help."
Instead of responding, Roger lays me down on the floor, backing away.
"Wasn't doing anything wrong, Michael," he responds.
"Is that right?" Realm calls, walking toward us. The coolness of the white tiles feels good against my cheek. Realm's image is sideways as he approaches.
"Weren't doing anything wrong with any of the other girls either?" Realm asks.
What would Dr. Warren say?
Realm's features are clouded as he comes to stand over me. I reach to touch the hem of his pants, fisting the fabric as I try to pull myself up.
You keep a secret and I will too, Roger says, his eyes narrowed to slits as he backs down the hall.
Realm takes my hand and gently tugs me to my feet.
Sloan, can you walk? He asks.
I try to say yes as I lean into him, but I can't seem to get my balance. Realm bends and then slips his arms under my knees and scoops me up, my head against his chest. He starts toward my room as Roger gets as far against the wall as he can.
This isn't over, Realm says to him before kicking open my door. I can feel his body tense around me, and I wonder what Roger would have done to me if Realm hadn't shown up. But I push the thought away, clinging to Realm as he lays me in my bed. I ask him to stay, not letting go of his shirt until his arms are around me. Then I drift, unconscious. When it's time for dinner, Realm and I don't talk about what happened. At least, not at first. He helps me get my food, even as Derek and Shep break his balls, saying he's whipped. I'm trembling, alternating between hot and cold flashes like a bad reaction to the medication.
Can I sit with you?
Tabitha asks, poised at the end of our table. The guys laugh, but Realm moves over.
Of course, Tabby.
I smile at him, thinking he's kind. He's smart. He reminds me of James in a way, always knowing how to make me feel better. James makes me laugh, too, although I can't remember the last time we did that.
Here, Realm says, putting a piece of cornbread on my tray. You need to eat, Sloan. You're wasting away.
Maybe I want to waste away.
Don't say things like that in here, he whispers fiercely. You'll get flagged again.
I nod, feeling bad for upsetting him, and I take his hand under the table. I'm just feeling sorry for myself, I say quietly. My memories, I don't have many left. Realm squeezes my hand and doesn't let go. He looks at me like he understands, and then we go back to our dinner, listening as the others talk. I nod when Derek tells us that he's going to move out of the country once he's 18. I'm grateful Realm is holding on to me. It doesn't feel romantic. It feels like a lifeline.
Chapter 10.
After a spirited game of cards, Realm and I retreat to the couch to watch a movie with a few others. I'm curled up next to him, and no one says anything. No nurses tell us to move apart. We can do what we want, and it's nice. It's the first time in a long while that I feel in control. When Nurse Kel comes in and tells us all it's time to return to our rooms, Realm pulls me in the other direction instead.
Wanna come hang out in my room? He asks, motioning down the hall.
I shrug, holding on to his arm as we walk. Opening his door, he allows me to go in first, and then he checks the hallway before closing it behind us.
It's fun to sneak around, isn't it? He asks.
It is, and I thought nothing could beat being constantly medicated. I laugh, but a serious expression comes over Realm's face. He goes to sit on his bed as I sit in the chair facing him. I start to fidget, knowing he wants to talk about Roger.
Sloan, I have to ask. Did he rape you?
What? I look up, startled. No.
Then what happened?
Realm swallows hard, and I know there's no use in denying it altogether. He offered a trade.
Oh, God.
It was for a kiss, some touching, but I need him really hard when that happened. It was just a kiss. I feel sick thinking about it and lower my head, not wanting Realm to see my face.
And in return?
He gave me a pill, said it would let me hold on to a memory. Realm swears under his breath, rubbing roughly at his face.
I'm gonna kill him, he says, mostly to himself. I told him to leave you alone.
He's done it to others, hasn't he? I ask.
Realm nods and then looks over at me, pained. I think maybe it's been going on for a while. I cringe, thinking about girls here having sex with that freak, and I can't believe I ever let him touch me. I just wanted to keep my life, keep myself. I feel violated and stupid, and I wrap my arms around myself as I sit back in the chair.
It doesn't work, you know, Realm says. The pill to block. With a memory out of context, it'll never come back or make sense. You shouldn't take it.
I flinch as if I've been slapped. I'd let Roger touch me, and now I wasn't getting what I was promised. It was for nothing. I did it for nothing.
It doesn't work? I ask, my voice strained.
Realm shakes his head. My world practically crumbles around me. My only hope is gone. I'd pinned everything on keeping the memories. I'm truly lost.
You should give the pill to me, he says.
I can't, I say quietly. I already took it.
Realm's face flares with anger. You idiot, he says. You could have been killed.
Stunned, I lower my eyes, Realm's harsh words stinging. I move to get up, but he reaches quickly for my hand.
I'm sorry, he whispers. I didn't mean that. Please don't go. I'm just frustrated, Sloane.
He stops talking, and when I finally look up again, he exhales.
Sorry, he repeats, sliding his fingers from mine. Let's just change the subject, okay?
I don't have anywhere else to go, so I sit back down.
Whatever, I say.
Realm is always so accepting of the program, so ready to let them take his past. But that's not me. I don't want to change.
Realm scoots over on the bed, patting the blanket.
Will you sit with me? He asks. I nod and move to put my knee on the bed, climbing up next to him.
It's going to be okay, he says softly. It's almost over.
I stare at him, the air seeming to rush out of me.
Is that all I have to look forward to? The point where I'm empty?
He smiles sadly.
It won't hurt anymore once you forget. It's the only thing that can save us now.
He bends to rest his forehead against mine, whispering,
We can't go on like this. You have a huge hole here.
He puts his palm over my heart, and the touch is intimate and almost comforting. It's not butterflies or romantic. I don't have those feelings for him. But it's a touch that makes me feel human, alive.
I don't know if I can make it, I say, closing my eyes. You can. You've made it this far. And hell, you're not dead, right?
He moves back and takes my chin, making me look at him.
Now I want you to hold me, he jokes, curling me against him as we lie back against the pillows. It's lucky that we were both here, he continues as he begins to play with my hair. Otherwise, I'd have to snuggle with Nurse Kel.
I laugh, putting my hand on his chest, over his heart. I'm surprised by how fast it's beating.
You nervous? I ask. Well, I am in bed with a pretty girl. I think this sort of reaction is beyond my control.
I sit up, and Realm shifts to lie flat on the bed. I get on my elbow and look down at his face. The black under his eye has faded, and his skin looks healthier than it did the first time I met him. The scar around his neck is healed, and I wonder how old it is. I trace my index finger over the raised pink line, and he holds his breath, his dark eyes meeting mine.
Does it still hurt? I ask.
Realm licks his lips, but is slow to answer.
Every day.
I pause, my finger under his chin. Me too,
I respond. Realm reaches to draw me closer, and I don't pull away. I'm so lonely, so broken, that I don't think I'll ever be fixed. Being with someone could make me forget for a while. Realm's been good to me. He's my friend. But as he leans forward, something inside of me seizes up. Just when his mouth meets mine, I turn away, making his lips brush my cheek instead. I can't, I murmur. Realm is not my boyfriend. He's not James. I close my eyes and lower my head to his chest, hugging him and hoping he won't send me away. I don't want to be alone right now. Realm immediately starts to apologize, but I stop him. It's not you. I'm with James, I tell him, not sure if it's cruel to say. I love him. Realm adjusts his position, but doesn't push me aside. Instead, he wraps me in a hug. I understand, he whispers. I'm going to find him again, I say, mostly to myself. The program can't erase James from my heart. I know they can't. If it's meant to be, Realm says, sounding like my mother. But underneath, I hear his hurt. I don't respond and just let him hold me, knowing that I shouldn't be here like this. But no one ever comes in to make me go back to my room. And when I start to fall asleep, I think that my guilt is gone, if only for a moment. I've become comfortably numb. Chapter 11. I wake up and look around at the stark white walls. I'm alone in my bed, alone in my room. After falling asleep at Realm's, I woke up at about 3 in the morning and made my way back to my own bed, feeling empty. When I walk into the dining room, Realm is waiting at the table for me, a stupid grin on his face. His friends whistle as I walk up wearing my lemon-yellow scrubs, holding a tray of scrambled eggs. Realm elbows Shep in the chest. Get out of here, man. But the smile never falters. What's going on? I ask when I'm sitting next to him. I don't care if they're gossiping about me, not really. At least that way they won't try to hit on me. And after Roger, I hope no one ever does again. Realm shrugs. They may have noticed a girl going into my room with me last night. If they figured out it was you and thought we got it on, it's not my fault.
You didn't deny it?
Nope, and it's still not my fault. You should have worn a disguise if you didn't want to be noticed. Realm reaches over and opens my milk carton for me, and then absently goes back to his eggs. I stare down at the milk, thinking that opening it was a sweet gesture, even if slightly possessive.
I meant to ask, I say, how much longer do you have here?
Realm pauses but doesn't look up. 2 weeks, and you'll have a week and a half after that.
Panic starts to pull at me, making it hard to breathe. A week and a half is a long time.
My voice cracks, and I'm suddenly terrified of being here alone. Being all alone with nobody but the stranger with my face. And Roger, who is definitely pissed now. Sweetness, Realm says. It's going to be okay.
No, it's not, I whisper. I'll forget everything. And then Roger, what about him? What will he do when I can't fight him off?
Realm's posture changes. Roger won't mess with you again. I promise. I won't let him.
You won't be here.
Realm looks sideways at me, his expression deadly serious. I'm giving you my word that I won't let him. I don't care what I have to do. He'll never touch you again.
He sounds like he means it. Although I'm scared something might happen to him, Realm just smiles, making my worry evaporate.
Then he leans forward to put a soft kiss on my cheek, one that smells like breakfast, and goes back to eating.
Dr. Francis examines me again and says that I've regained a pound. He's pleased as he adjusts my medication dosage, saying that I've made such strides in my recovery that he can finally lower it. I want to believe him, but I don't. Not when he still works for the program. After I'm checked over, he ushers me to Dr. Warren's office. She looks happy to see me, her hair pulled into a high, girlish ponytail, her suit replaced with a colorful blouse. "You look cheerful," I mumble as I walk in. She smiles at this. "Thought you could use a change. Do we need Marilyn today?" She slides the Dixie cup toward me. "Yep." I can see her tense, but she just waves her hand and the nurse comes in, holding me still as she stabs me with the needle. It doesn't take as long this time for my fight to go out. I think that the dose has been increased and not scaled back like Dr. Francis promised. Either that, or I have fewer memories for the medication to attach to. I sink down in my chair. "What are you going to pick out today?" I ask. "I'm just listening, Sloan. I've never done anything but listen." "Liar." She sighs. "Why do you love James so much?" she asks. "Is it because he reminds you of the time you spent with your brother?" "No, it's because he's hot." I laugh, resting my head back against the chair. She's the crazy one if she thinks I'm going to tell her. "Would it hurt if I told you that James didn't love you?" I glare at her. "What?" "I've been through James's files, and he told his counselor that he felt obligated to take care of you, that he wanted to save you because you were so unwell, and he didn't want you to die like your brother." She can't be telling me the truth. James was probably just trying to protect me from them. And yet, Dr. Warren's words are like a punch in the heart. "James loved me," I hiss, "and your twisted lies won't change that." "How do you know that, Sloan? When did you realize that he truly loved you, that you loved him?" "Like I'm gonna tell you," I scoff. Dr. Warren nods and then raises her hand to Marilyn. "Another dose, please." "Wait, what?" There's pain in my arm as Marilyn gives me another shot. "You can't do that," I say, scared of overdosing, of dying in this facility. "Sloan, we will do whatever we have to. We're trying to save your life and stop the spread of an epidemic. Now please cooperate, or we're going to have to take you to an examination room." The threat of the exam room truly frightens me. What will they do? Cut open my head? I glare at Dr. Warren and rub my arm. "Okay," I say. "Okay." Marilyn leaves and Dr. Warren settles in with my file, ready to write down what I say. I consider lying, but then a wave crashes over me that makes me too weak to be dishonest. "James had dated girls before me, quite a few actually," I start. "So when we became a couple out in the open, some of those girls tried to say it was because my brother was dead. The same crap you're saying now. Of course, they didn't know that we'd been seeing each other before, but I was too ashamed to tell anyone. Not after keeping it a secret from Brady. My brother had only been gone a few weeks when my parents sat me down for a talk. They said they were worried about me, but I was doing fine. Far better than they were. Then they told me that they were concerned about me getting involved with James, that two people who suffered a tragedy shouldn't be together because it increases the risk of suicide. I then pointed out that maybe they shouldn't be together." My mother slapped me that night. I can still feel the sting on my cheek. I felt terrible for what I said, but I never apologized. Now I probably never will, because I won't remember. "I left then," I tell Dr. Warren. "I got in the car and drove straight to James's house. It was after 10 when his dad opened the door, clearly pissed. I remember Mr. Murphy's face, how closed off he was.
Sorry, Sloane, he said. No visitors this late.
He looked a lot like James, only bigger, heavier, colder.
Tears had stung my eyes, but it's important.
He bristled. Listen, I've talked with James about this. The two of you, I'm not in favor of it.
Mr. Murphy reached to put his hand on my shoulder.
I think you're a great girl, Sloane, he said, and I loved your brother. But you and my son can't heal when you're constant reminders of death to each other. Go home, honey, Mr. Murphy said. I'm sure your parents are worried.
Obviously, my parents had called, I say to Dr. Warren. They'd given him the heads up that I was probably on my way.
I stopped talking then, opting instead to relax into the memory. Recognize the moment when James and I knew we were forever.
I love your son, I told Mr. Murphy as I backed off the porch. Not because of Brady or anything else. I'm in love with him.
James's father lowered his eyes, and then he shut the front door, blocking me out. I stood there, stunned for a moment. But when I headed back to my car, I heard a whistle. I turned to see James running toward me, backpack over his shoulder.
What are you?
His face was expressionless.
Let's go.
He pulled me to my car and we got in. I drove away, but James looked like he'd been crying.
James, I started. They said that—
Sloane, he interrupted, staring at me intently. They can't keep me from you.
Then what do we do? I asked.
He pointed straight ahead.
Just drive.
Dr. Warren shifts behind her desk and I look at her. She nods her head, encouraging me to remember everything. James and I ran away, I tell her. We went to a campsite with yurts, those tent-like buildings already set up, and James rented it for the rest of the week. No one questioned him because he paid cash and looked older. When we got inside, it was like our own little house, our own little life. I lean back in the chair in Dr. Warren's office, my body warm from the drugs. I think about how James and I rearranged the bed and table, making it all our own. We wanted to stay there forever. There was a deck of cards, and somehow James talked me into a game of strip poker. Only he lost.
Are you purposely losing? I asked him, laughing.
Sloane, when winning means getting you naked, you better believe I'm going to try my damnedest to win. He ran his eyes over my t-shirt and jeans. You could at least take off a sock to humor me.
So I did, taking it off slowly and then tossing it across the room.
James's face changed then, the playfulness fading.
Sloane, he whispered, laying down his cards.
I love you. You make me feel right.
James crawled over the cards on the floor and stopped in front of me, his face close to mine, studying me.
I love the way you laugh.
Cry. I love to make you smile.
He touched my cheek and I grinned instinctively.
Make you moan. Butterflies fluttered in my stomach, and I reached to put my arms around his neck.
Baby, he continued, I'm going to live the rest of my life with you, or die trying.
Don't talk about dying, I murmured, kissing softly at his lips.
You're the only person I can ever trust. You're the only one who'll ever know the real me.
I know James loved me, I tell Dr. Warren as tears run down my cheeks, because I knew him better than anyone ever could. He always acted like nothing was wrong, that he was tough, but inside, Brady's death tortured him. James hated his father for trying to keep us apart. He resented his mother for leaving when he was a kid. When we were alone, James could be vulnerable, and I loved him then most of all.
I wipe at my face and glare at Dr. Warren. We were together because we loved each other, and that's all there ever was.
Dr. Warren nods slowly, not jotting anything down,
just looking on as if she understands. Or maybe it's fake like everything else. The room is liquidy around me, dreamlike. Take this, she says, sliding me a black pill. It's different from the usual yellow one I take, and all at once I'm seized with hope. She's going to help me after all. A smile twitches my lips, and I lean lazily forward and take the pill, swallowing it gratefully. When I do, she exhales, setting her pen down. I'm sorry for all you've been through, Sloane, she says like she means it. You should take a moment to say goodbye. I furrow my brow. Goodbye to who? James. The floor seems to drop out from under me, and despite the drugs slowing my movements, I jump out of the chair. No. No, no. I quickly jam my finger down my throat, gagging as Dr. Warren tells me to stop and calls to the nurse. I have to throw up the pill before they can erase him. James. But the minute I get the pill back up, the relief is short-lived. Marilyn walks in with a needle, poised to strip it all away. Chapter 12. I'm sobbing as I stumble from Dr. Warren's office. She doesn't bother to help me. Instead, she tells me that it's okay for me to cry. I swear at her and run my hand along the wall as I head toward the leisure room. James, James, James. I know these are my last minutes to remember him, and I stop, letting myself slide down the wall to sit on the floor. I rest my head on my bent knees and hold on to what I can. I see James, smiling broadly as he rakes his fingers through his wet hair. Come on, Sloane, he calls from the water. He's shirtless, the sun glistening off his skin as he stands in the river. I sit on the grass and shake my head. James walks out of the water, dripping as he approaches me. He collapses on the blanket, the cool skin of his thigh pressed against my shorts. One day, he says, his eyes squinted against the sun, I'm going to teach you how to swim, and then we're going to the ocean. Never. Never, James repeats, sounding amused. He pulls me down next to him and traps me in his arms. His skin is cold, but hot underneath. Never. I giggle and shake my head. And what if I want to get married on the beach? He asks. You still say no? He bites on his lip, leaning closer to me. You'll refuse to marry me? Tingles race over me, and not just because he's close, but because I'm overwhelmed with how much I love him. How he's the other half of my heart. I'll never refuse you, I whisper. James smiles and then kisses me softly, trailing his mouth to my neck before returning to my lips again. It's me and you, he says, madly in love until the end. And the words echo in my head as I collapse on my side in the hallway, drowning in my pain. I feel something next to me, but my body is heavy and I can't move. I try to turn, but my hands are locked at my side. My eyes fly open. A face looms over me and I start to scream when his hand covers my mouth. Shh, Miss Barstow, Roger whispers. We wouldn't want to draw attention to ourselves, would we? I twist my hands again and realize he has me in the restraints. I know I'm not completely helpless. I can bite down on his hand, scream out. But then what? They'll restart me in the program, making sure I don't remember anything that I'm not supposed to. I shake his hand off my mouth. What do you want? He smiles, his eyes gliding over my body under the sheets. I think you'd be a little too feisty to trust with any of my naked parts now, he says, so I'm not offering a trade anymore. I furrow my brow. Then what?
I want Michael Realm out of here. But first, I want to watch him squirm.
The vulnerability of my situation crashes down on me. What are you going to do?
Roger shrugs. Michael is inappropriately fond of you, so I think this scene alone will be enough to push him over the edge, don't you?
With a sickening smile, Roger leans over me, placing a kiss on my collarbone, smart enough to avoid getting close to my teeth. He runs his tongue along my skin.
It's too bad, he murmurs, kissing again. We could have had a lot of fun.
Yeah, I growl. I would have enjoyed kneeing you again. Roger pulls back, examining my expression.
You think you're in control? He asks, his peppermint breath warm on my face. Do you think you're beating the program?
He laughs softly.
Sloan, he whispers, you used to love someone. Do you remember?
His words hit me harder than any slap. There's a twist in my gut, a pain in my heart. Love? I did love someone, I think. It was...
Roger moves away with a satisfied grin. I should go, he says. Michael should be out of therapy by now. He starts to walk away, but then turns back. Forgot.
Roger pulls a needle out of his pocket and stabs me in the thigh. He covers my mouth as I cry out, but it's only minutes before things start to get hazy. He pulls back the blanket to untie the drawstring of my pants and pulls at my shirt to expose my stomach, making it look like I've been struggling. My head falls back against the pillow as he watches me carefully, waiting for me to pass out. I can feel the tears leak from the corner of my eyes and slide across my temples.
Sorry I had to strap you down, Sloan, he says, but you were a danger to yourself.
He pats my shoulder consolingly and walks out. There's a soft slap against my cheek.
Sloan, Sweetness, wake up.
There's another quick tap, and I open my eyes.
Oh, thank God, Realm murmurs, moving to undo my restraints. What happened? He demands.
Roger, I choke out, my voice raspy.
Realm stops dead and stares at me. Roger did this to you? His breathing quickens as he covers me with a blanket, a deep flush on his cheeks.
He didn't, I assure him, knowing he's thinking the worst. But he's baiting you. He wants you gone.
Realm's jaw is clenched so tight it sets his face in sharp, hard angles.
He undoes the other strap and then rubs my wrist where it's red as he sits on the edge of my bed.
Sloan, he begins quietly. I'm going to be leaving for a few days, but you'll be safe, okay? I will come back for you.
I widen my eyes. Wait, what?
I need you to be strong, he says. Just be strong until I get back.
He stands up, looking at me like he doesn't want to leave. Then he says goodbye and walks out the door, shutting it behind him. I'm still groggy, but I get out of bed anyway. The tile floor is ice cold under my bare feet. I fumble with the door handle, and just as I get it open, I see Realm stalking toward the nurse's station. Roger's poised there, laughing with the nurse. I'm about to yell for Realm to stop, but before I can, he cocks back his arm and decks Roger, sending him flying over the desk.
Michael! The nurse yells out. But Realm jumps over and grabs Roger by the neck, his fist pulled back to hit him again. Which arm? Realm snarls.
Roger looks at him, his cheek already puffing out from where Realm's fist connected. I lean against the doorframe, barely able to stand.
Don't do this, Michael, Roger says. You'll expose us all.
Realm punches him hard in the face again, and I wince, sure that Roger's nose is broken. The nurse is still screaming for them to stop, but she doesn't dare intervene. Not when Realm looks so crazed.
Which arm did you touch her with? Realm demands, his face close to Roger's bloodied one. And when the handler doesn't answer, I watch as Realm grabs Roger's right arm and yanks it so hard behind his back, the snap is audible. I stumble in the doorway and fall to my knees. Roger howls and Realm lets him go, backing away. Roger's arm hangs at an odd angle below the elbow, and I try to catch my breath, horrified by the sight. Just then, security rounds the hall, and I'm afraid for Realm. But instead of pulling out their tasers, the guards skid to a stop in front of him. While one guard helps Roger to stand, the other takes hold of Realm, whispering something to him as he leads him in the other direction. And rather than fight, Realm seems calm, eerily calm, even though he just broke a guy's arm and is being hauled off by the program to God knows where. Realm? I call after him, the start of a cry in my voice. What are they going to do to him? He looks over his shoulder then, and his eyes widen when he sees me. But he doesn't say anything. He just nods, as if we have an agreement. And then he lets security take him away. I wait for Realm to come back. When I ask Nurse Kell, she says she doesn't know what will happen, a disapproving look on her face. I feel exposed and empty with my only friend gone. Roger had been right. I'm not in control of anything. The first day without Realm, I see Roger in the hall with a security guard on his left. Roger's right arm is in a cast. He has a bandage over his nose and has a black eye. A twisted satisfaction stretches over me. I watch him carry a box of his things, his career here clearly over. And since I haven't been pulled into a meeting, it looks like my name stayed out of it. Realm really did find a way to get rid of him. When he passes me, Roger pauses long enough to glance sideways at me. I don't smile because the look in his eyes is pure hatred. It's a look that says, "This isn't over." I turn away, not acknowledging him, and halfway down the hall I see Tabitha standing in her doorway. When she catches my eyes, she nods, just like Realm did. As if we all have a secret pact I don't know about. Maybe now that Roger's gone, we'll all sleep a little easier. The day drags after that, and when I finally make it to dinner in the dining room, Derek and Shep are at my table. "Hey," they say when I sit down. "Hey." I'm not used to talking to them without Realm around, and they look as lost as I feel. "Cards tonight?" I ask, hoping they'll distract me from missing Realm. "Nah," Shep says, pushing away his hamburger. "I want to wait until Realm comes back." His green eyes are sad, and I want to reach out and touch his hand, but I don't. I feel strange, as if I'm hollowed out somehow. I feel vulnerable and empty.
"So, you know how he kicked the shit out of that handler?" Derek asks me.
I nod, nervous about what will come next.
"I heard some of the nurses talking, and they said Roger was dealing medication and Realm busted him. But then the handler said he'd hurt us if Realm turned him in."
He puffs up his chest.
"Now obviously, I can take care of myself, so I'm going to assume the threat was made on you. It explains why Realm went crazy on him."
I shrug and poke at the salad on my plate.
"Anyway," Derek continues, "Kell seems to think they'll let Realm come back, but they fired Roger. Made him sign some confidentiality agreement with the program. Can you believe that? He should be in jail."
"They'd never jeopardize the program," I state. "We're the cure, remember?" When I look up, they're all staring at me like I've lost my mind, and I consider that maybe I have. Maybe this emptiness is where my heart used to be.
I stand up, pushing away my tray and head into the leisure room, taking a seat by the window and staring out.
Chapter 13. I've been in the program for 4 weeks and 8 hours. Realm still isn't back, but I haven't given up hope. I don't remember much of my past, but there is a sense that I was happy once, and it makes me think I could be again. Tabitha and I are standing in front of the leisure room as she shows me her fingernails. As a reward for good behavior, they let her have some polish, and although her nails are still short, they're now neon pink. She wiggles them admiringly. "They look great," I tell her, also noticing how she started to brush her hair.
"Thanks," Tabitha says. "I leave in 2 weeks, can you believe it? I think they're going to let me get my hair done, too. Dr. Warren thinks I'd look better with auburn instead of red. What do you think?"
I shrug.
"I like it how it is."
She smiles, as if my compliment truly means a lot to her. But then she notices something behind me, and her grin widens.
"Sloane," she says.
"What?"
"Loverboy is back."
I turn quickly and see Realm walking toward us, his lemon-yellow scrubs freshly pressed. A weak sigh escapes from my lips as my whole body releases my fear. I run toward him, and he holds out his arms for a hug.
"You're okay," I whisper in his ear, the minute he swoops me up, my feet dangling over the floor.
He smells like soap and laundry detergent, and I'm so happy I don't think I can let him go.
"I'm okay," he says, hugging me tight. When he sets me down, he waves to Tabitha and she giggles and walks away.
Realm then stares down into my face, his skin looking paler.
"Did anything happen while I was gone?" he asks, putting his hands on my shoulders and massaging them softly.
"Roger was fired."
Realm smiles and then hugs me again. "Told you he wouldn't bother you again."
He rests his cheek on the top of my head.
"You didn't tell anyone about what he offered you, right?" he whispers quietly.
"No."
"Good." "The boys won't play cards without you," I say, wanting to change the subject. "I think they miss you."
"Did you miss me?" And even though we're hugging, even though I'm so glad to have him back, I feel strange about his question.
"Of course," I answer, because it's the truth.
I pull away and notice the bandage on his knuckles. When he sees me looking, he holds it up.
"Cut it on his tooth," he says. 2 stitches.
He looked worse, believe me. Realm seems satisfied with this, takes my hand in his uninjured one, and leads us to the leisure room. The card game is in full swing, and Realm and I have pretzels dangling from our mouths as we call out bullshit. Everyone is laughing.
"There's no way you have diamonds," Shep yells at Derek. "I have them all, dude. Bullshit."
"It's the closest thing you'll ever get to a diamond from him." I blink. The voice in my head is not mine. It's from somewhere else. And I see a purple, heart-shaped ring with sparkles in it. I'm stuffing it in a mattress, but I don't know why. Whose ring is that?
"Sloane," Realm says, bumping my knee. "You okay?"
I nod, looking back at him, but not really seeing him. Inside, I feel a pull, something yanking out my heart. I miss someone. I know it plainly, and yet I can't conjure up a face, an image. It's like an ache, a phantom pain for an appendage that's no longer there. I don't know what I've lost, where I've been. I think on it, and I don't know if I had a boyfriend before the program, if I'm even a virgin anymore. I'm a stranger to myself. This thought makes tears spring to my eyes. I want to be me. And yet I'm not sure who I am.